B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. All right. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. And see the lighting in the room, which is strange. And I don't know why it is so effective, but this is making me think of maybe actually buying one of those sun lamps. I think I did buy one of those sun lamps at one time. The lamps that you're supposed to have like in front of you in the winter.
Oh, really?
To make you not want to kill yourself.
The ones that they have in like Norway?
Yeah. Well, it's. I did buy one. I bought one off Amazon, yeah. And I only plugged it in once. And then, like, it was so fascinating. The kids, like, it's gone because I think it looks like an iPad. That's why.
How are we in a studio that we can't control the lights?
Because, what is more important to a local sports network that's slowly going under than having programming from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m.?
Why can't we get a hold of someone to turn off these super bright lights that are pointing at our face?
I would again tell you that, is this show on at 11 a.m.?
It is not on at
11 a.m. Is this show on at 2 p.m.?
It is not.
In the highest of traffic times?
No, it is not.
We are merely on at the 7 and 8 o'clock hours, which everyone knows is a ghost town.
Nobody in the world's in their car at 8 a.m.
I mean, it's a miracle Beasley even pays us to be on in such an unimportant time slot.
I do think that maybe that is something that should be changed, is that we should have some sort of override button that turns the lights off if they happen to be accidentally left on by the people at the TV studio.
Well,
I feel like my retinas are burning.
Well, it's that high budget programming.
I just come on. Just do us that one.
We'll
solid.
Put it on the list for the new building.
Yeah.
The best is
all I want is to be able to flip a switch and not feel like I'm on the sun.
I guarantee you that in the new building, no one's on TV. I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because I have a feeling if that company flips, that they're not going to want to invest in building a studio.
Okay.
I just replay stuff all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
What I think the best is that Rich had no knowledge of this.
Until
down,
you mentioned it.
And now he is sunk. It's taken an hour, but he is sunken into madness where everything is bothering him.
I now see that light.
I know you do.
That light. Like now
he had no idea about the square lights above us, and now he's looking at everything.
Well,
it's great.
If you want to get into it, I mean, we don't have normal lights. There's just the peripheral lights that are normal. Like, we don't have like normal lights, like lights that come on
right
like you would in a normal room.
Correct. They are specifically placed and scattered throughout the room for optimal effect. Yes.
Yeah. I got to imagine, well, we should really push for our own studio.
Exactly.
They'd do it.
Okay.
They would.
Of course they would.
Oh no, they would.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think if we pushed hard enough, I'm not gonna do it. I mean, look at this majesty. Now, I have my own board. I don't have the things that I need to make it useful, but mm-hmm. I do have my board.
I just wish that there was some sort of way that we could turn off our own lights that are in front of us.
That would be too novel a concept.
You have to appease the television daytime audience for high number basic cable channels.
If there's somebody who's showing up early over at NBC Sports Boston, just that switch on the left, just boop, just flip it down.
Well, at least start moving.
Before Rich really
at least start at least start moving the cameras so we know you're here.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rich.
Well, one thing we can say about NBC Sports Boston is that they do employ Mr. Tommy Curran, who does an excellent job covering.
Yes, their original program.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with their original programming. In fact, they just employed our own bottom feeder, Mr. Joe Murray.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He gambling is on, show. Yes.
It's like it's 6 p.m. on Fridays, and they replay it later on.
I'm certainly not dismissing their original programming. Mm-hmm. What I am dismissing is the validity of sacrificing the comfort of a morning show on a radio station for afternoon, for daytime programming for a regional sports network. That is what I'm dismissing is the daytime programming for the regional sports network. If you're simulcasting a radio show, you've pretty much given up. You know, like Sternhead Strippers in. I mean, Felger and Maz, they talk into the microphones just like us. But Twitch, you should really watch. All right, so here we go. While we're at it. Yes. All right, so Tommy Curran, great work. And obviously has developed a relationship with Tom Brady Sr. And how did this all come about, Rich?
So what have we been saying since, I mean, the beginning of all of this? I mean, we all knew that Tom Brady was going to be playing with a lot of pee and vinegar when he showed back up to Foxborough. I mean, everything's been lining up to where he's going to set the record here, the passing record. I mean, every person that we know, and there's been several who have talked with Tom Brady, he's let them know that this is going to be personal when he arrives. And what do we know about whenever parents of athletes who usually are fairly tight-lipped, what do we know about when their parents speak to the media?
Is that they are a like the id or the ego of the person. They are the
non-filtered,
not the id, the ego. They would be the non-filtered, maybe even a little over-high, like at their most over-caffeinated moments. The thoughts of the athlete.
There's no question.
And by the way, what a lottery Tom Brady Sr. hit. Like, if he was into football, like, Tom Brady Sr., say my parents are 79, so he's 2 years younger than me, Brady. So say his dad's 77. Who cares what he is? But, I mean, 77 and still watching your kid play pro ball? Like, your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got the payoff for, like, driving him to all those stupid games and everything.
You got to watch him become the greatest of all time.
Yeah, you got, but at 44, I mean, you're 77. Let's say you're 77. You're 77 years old. You still have 17 Sundays a year in the regular season. You get to watch your kid play football.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard-o dad lottery. I mean, if I had a son that was still playing professional sports when I was 77, I'd be like, hachi machi, boy, oh boy, I got something to do every day.
So here is Tommy Curran on a Zoom call with Mr. Tom Brady Sr., who's out there in California. You can see him. He's on his back patio. He's got, you know, nice little weather in the outside.
He lives in a single wide trailer.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a listen to Tom Brady Sr. with Tommy Curran.
Tom never got Wally Pipped here, but he is in Tampa now playing for a different team. He's got 9 touchdown passes in the first 2 games of the season. He's playing brilliantly at 44. As he prepares to come back to New England in a short period of time, what's your feeling?
My feeling is that Tommy is extraordinarily appreciative of everything that happened during his New England career. And he's more than happy that he's moved on, because it was pretty obvious that the Patriot regime felt that it was time for him to move on. And frankly, you know, it may well have been the perfect for Belichick to move on from him. On the other hand, I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are pretty happy that the decision was made in Foxborough that they didn't want to afford him or didn't want to keep him when his last contract came up.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year, he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn right.
You got any more Patriots paraphernalia in that house behind you in San Mateo?
I'm not sure. Let's see. There might be something. I think I might have a license plate that says something like 6 Super Bowls. But other than that, I think pretty much the rest of it has been given to Goodwill or Catholic Charities or something.
Goodwill.
He got rid of all of the Patriots merchandise that he had in his home.
Burn those uniforms.
So you mean if I go to San Mateo and go to Goodwill, I could find like five like pristine rookie cards of Tom Brady's?
Like signed Tom Brady stuff? Oh, sure.
If you have a, I mean, that's, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars if you have the PSA 10 Tom Brady rookie, Hachi Machi.
All right. So
let's,
I mean,
let's take a plane out of here right after the show.
I think my favorite part of all of that is not just that he said damn rights, which is a term I've never heard before. I've heard damn right. Mm-hmm. But maybe if you...
He's like, you guys wouldn't get this. The situation adds essence to everything, and we know Tom Brady Sr. is a big Jersey Shore guy.
Okay. Oh, I don't get the reference, but I like it.
All right. Thank you.
Great. So not only does he say that, but the fact that it is just confirmed that Bill Belichick didn't want Tom Brady, and that's the way that that's what both of them believe, but that it's such a bad relationship that he didn't want any Patriots merchandise inside of his house, despite all of the time and years that Tom Brady spent with the team.
All the wonderful memories.
I mean, that's hate. That's like ex-girlfriend burning all the pictures, getting rid of any kind of memory you had.
It's interesting. The book Dynasty, which I did finish, by the way, kind of paints the divorce as, you know, Brady went to Kraft's house and it was tearful and, you know, there wasn't a lot of anger, but, you know, it's a more sorrow, and Kraft called to wish him well. There doesn't seem to be any goodwill at all.
Well, that might
seems
be
to
from...
be much different than that.
Well, no. I believe that. I believe that if you've spent 20 years somewhere, I'll tell you this, is that when I was on 99X in Atlanta, I had there was new ownership that came in. I met with them and they were total morons. And I wanted to work with Rich, so I said, hey, would you mind if I leave? And they said, no, we don't mind if you leave. Here's some money. And then I left. But it was my decision. But I didn't want to be there anymore. But I still liked people there.
Yeah, you didn't hold
And I cried like when my last show was over. I mean, it was my whole identity. My last show was at a bar. But, you know, like an hour after my last show, I realized that was all over and I cried. So I could see, and the Krafts love Tom Brady. So I can see that happening, but, you know, hating Belichick, and he absolutely hates Belichick. And here's where the Patriots screwed up, and here's where Tom Brady Sr. could be right. Is that, listen, Tampa Bay had all the things in place when Tom came there to win. I mean, Tom didn't do it on his own. He changed the... I'm not belittling what he did, but he didn't do it all on his own.
He also was able to choose his situation.
No,
that
the
was
talent,
best set
the
up
talent he walked I'm in the door
greater,
to see.
I'm making That's a greater point. The talent in Tampa Bay was far greater than the talent here. Okay? So he moved in. So they probably don't win a Super Bowl last year if they have Tom Brady. We all agree. Chances are very, very slim they would have done that. What the Patriots, the way they could have sold this is if they would have just allowed themselves to tank and then they could and had their choice of quarterbacks, taken the quarterback and then said, you know, congratulations, Tampa Bay, you've won a Super Bowl. We have six and we plan on winning one in 2 years. So, you know, with a kid, and then we'll have our new dynasty. We're taking these 2 years off to build our new dynasty. Tip your hat to the crowd in Tampa Bay. Congratulations. They'll be in shambles while we're winning championships. They could have done that. But they have not done that.
Well, hang on. There is one thing that could save the legacy of Bill Belichick, and he really, really has got to be hoping this happens. If Mac Jones becomes a success, then you're going to be able to look back as a Patriots fan and go, okay, well, Tom Brady was probably let go, you know, a year early, a year or two, but look what they ended up getting.
But my point is
that he has to be good to save his legacy.
But my point is that, first of all, you could add your choice of quarterbacks, and you didn't have to just settle for who was there. Now, Mac Jones could be the best out of all of them, but you could add your choice of anyone. He's not going to – listen, Trevor Lawrence is better than Mac Jones. So, okay? So you could – you're better off having your choice of quarterbacks than having to settle for the one that's there when you're picking. Second of all, the way they went all in on free agency this year, I mean, you could have built and drafted and had your quarterback of your choice and had a young team and a million picks and in a very young core and then added your veterans and then said, here we go. But instead, you kind of piecemealed this whole thing together. And yes, if Mac Jones is a success, that helps.
Yeah.
But they didn't put themselves in the position to to get the to do their diligence and to get the guy that they really wanted.
Well, this is, well, I mean, once again, you're going to have Patriots fans saying, well, Mac Jones is the guy they really wanted. And if he's successful, then well, Bill Belichick can
if you had,
rest
if,
his
if,
hat on
if
that.
If there was five things in front of you and four other people, would you rather have the first choice of the things or the fifth choice of the things? You would rather have the first choice of things.
But the fifth choice of things could have been Bill Belichick's first choice, Fred.
Mm.
He just didn't have a chance.
So you're saying that, mm-hmm. that he would have looked at Trevor Lawrence and that Mac Jones and said, I'll take
no.
the Mac Jones?
No, of course not.
I will not take the generational talent. Now, I'm not
but
saying they
saying
would have the number one overall pick.
If this works, it's the ultimate thing. It's maybe the only thing that can help Bill Belichick's reputation of how things ended. He's obviously going to go down as the best coach of all time. But, I mean,
know.
There is a blemish at the end for letting Tom Brady
walk. I
don't
know, because they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, and they built this team to win, and it's just not going to happen.
But
if they would have tanked two seasons, Patriots fans, they could have built something special.
This is an interesting point someone on Twitter makes. Goes, guys, don't be idiots. Do you think that Brady's father actually threw out all their Patriots memorabilia, the team where their son became the best player in sports history? I'm calling BS on that. Hey, you may be right, but the fact he said it is all that matters.
What the hell does it matter if he did it or not?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. But the fact that he said it, like he's so pissed at the organization that he wants it out there, that all of that is out of his house, that shows what that family thinks of the Patriots.
He's an old man. I mean, he's obviously into Catholicism. Well, how do you know he didn't give everything to the Catholic Church? I mean, he's an old man. What's he care? What's he going
to heaven?
Like, what's he? Who's he keeping the memorabilia? Like, what's he keeping it around for? Who's he going to give it to? Tom? Like, what is he going to give it to? Tom's kids? Like, you know, if him giving away Patriots memorabilia, his kids, Tom Brady. Like, who's he going to give it to?
Do you think if he went through and like sold a bunch of like Tom Brady stuff that was in his bedroom when he was a kid, he could basically build like a gigantic house with the money he would make?
Yes.
No,
I don't know. You'd be surprised. I don't know what that stuff would be worth.
Oh, I disagree. The best football player of all time.
I'll ask you, would you buy something that was in his childhood room?
No, but
okay,
that's me.
I know
there are a lot of people out there who would.
No, not enough to drive the price up crazy.
Oh, Fred, you've seen how much people like buy these like guitars that guys used to play. There's guitars who have 100 guitars that they play, and one of them they'll sell for, you know, like thousands of dollars.
You're talking about something that was in his childhood room.
Yeah, like let's say it was something that was
Pop Warner trophy that he won when he was 8.
$200.
Oh, you're crazy.
I think it'd be more.
Okay, I will bet you guys. Well, I can't. I mean, there's no real way to quantify it, but if someone who would know. And there should be a lot of people out there because it's not the same as like cards and cards are worth way more than like bats and gloves.
That hasn't softened yet. The card market.
Maybe it has, but I'm telling you, but then everything shifted. It's not like gloves are all hot now.
No,
but the bats and gloves are not worth as much as cards. So I'm telling you that you would be surprised. I mean, I know this isn't the gist of the argument.
I know what you're saying.
But I'm saying that I'm just being a nerd about it.
By the way, this is
I just bought another $800 worth of cards.
Wait a minute. I thought we were done with that. I thought now that we're all out and breathing fresh air again, you were going to quit that.
Has the sadness come back?
What happened?
I reached silver.
No one knows what happened.
The place that I buy cards from, I'm a silver level member now.
Oh, see, how can you not? The discounts have kicked in.
Yeah, so I got a $25 discount.
Okay.
When you get an email saying, hey, you've reached silver level.
How does one do that exactly?
Spend money.
Spend a lot of money.
There's a level of money that needs to be spent?
You garner points.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You garner points
for
your purchases, and then you go and then you buy the boxes.
Well, now the question is, how do you get gold?
Then you and your son open up the cards, and then your son...
Are you still doing box breaks?
Yeah, my son and I, we break them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we pal around, break the cards.
Sure.
He mispronounces all the names.
It's a bonding moment where you correct him and say, no, this is how you pronounce it.
Or I say, who's this? It's amazing because we'll like just put cards like in a box, and then my son like every 6 months will go through and go, you realize there's like a Dalvin Cook like rookie with the jersey in it that you just threw in this box, and I'm like, oh yeah, Dalvin Cook's good. So, like, I because it's constantly making mistakes. That's the thing. Constantly finding treasure, which I'll never sell. You want a George Brett rookie mini card?
No, I'm good. Thank you, though.
Yeah, I thought. You don't. You can't play with the silver level boys.
I just
get back to your bronze.
It's the intimidation factor.
You can't play with the silver bullet boys.
Water.
Thank you, George Brett. The punchline to his diarrhea story is just the best.
Well, that diarrhea story has made that card more valuable because that will live on forever.
True.
Water.
I mean, that's 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that lives strong. Yeah.
Diarrhea, baby. Cha cha cha. Cha-ching, cha-ching. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Someone tweeted us that someone paid $3,000 for a expired Michael Jordan American Express card. Vincent Price check.
Oh yeah, how
to
much?
A long service.
Did Chachi get that for free, or how'd that work? Well,
it was gifted to me by someone special.
By the way, somebody also tweeted us and said the Brady family is not mad at the Patriots or Kraft. They're mad at Bill. Let's get that correct. And to that I say, I don't know about that. I know that there's like this whole lovey-dovey thing that's being painted between, you know, Brady and Robert Kraft and, you know, how they went over and they cried. Robert Kraft chose a side and he chose Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a little bitterness. I will say this, though. I'll be keenly aware of any smooches that go on pregame.
That'll happen.
And that's a Bon Jovi game, too. That's where Bon Jovi will be patrolling the sidelines, kind of as a little backup to Bill.
The smooches on the cheek before the game starts? Absolutely that happens.
Yeah,
sure.
Because Kraft's going down there. The whole Kraft family's going down there to try to get some on-camera smooches. Maybe some lemonades.
If you think about Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft and the Krafts and everybody that's involved with the Patriots, all of them want to be the people that say, we are still friends with Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if there's anything that they want for this game, it's the PR that shows, hey, man, he's still cool with us, despite what you might hear about Bill Belichick. But I do believe that Tom Brady's family still thinks that a lot of us has to do with Robert Kraft and his decision making.
Well, ultimately, it was his decision. So, again, I can see why, you know, there was a tearful goodbye with the Krafts. But, of course, there has to be a lingering bitterness.
Maybe part of the tears was, I can't believe you're choosing him over me.
Or just the acceptance of it. But, I mean, he definitely wants the Patriots to fail. I mean, there's no question about it. That's human nature. He wants the jilted lover to be the jilted lover wants the ex to be miserable.
Just if you are playing fantasy and you've got Antonio Brown, put him in your lineup that week. Put Rob Gronkowski definitely in your lineup that week because he's scoring 2. Antonio Brown's going to get at least 1. And Tom Brady's just going to go scorched earth on this team. There's no way the Patriots can win that game. No way. You have the greatest weapon in all of football coming to Foxborough with a vendetta. Dude, it's going to be scorched earth.
Well, people will be very happy. By the way, Elvira. Do you remember Elvira?
Yes, I do remember, there
was
her well.
A famous Oak Ridge Boys song about her.
Yeah, my oh my.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Elvira, she came out as she's had a female lover for 19 years. Oh. But that's not the point. The point is, kids nowadays don't know because of the internet. But when Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, came on television when you were an adolescent or you were a teen, I mean, that was a magical time when Elvira would grace the airwaves.
We always had a knockoff Elvira every place I lived.
Really?
Yeah.
With big cans?
No. It was like, it was the host of the horror shows. Like,
oh, yeah.
That.
We had that too, but like, it was a dude.
Yeah. It was a dude named in Chicago. It was Son of Svengoolie.
Yeah. We had some guy in Detroit. I don't really remember.
And then in Boston, 50. It was Ernie Bach.
Ooh, I'm going to play the blues. Oh, look at me. I'm fronting an all-star blues band. I'm going to make you listen. Italian Dracula, by the way. But I'm thinking of other, like Rhonda Shear.
Oh, yeah.
When you stay up all night. Yeah, when she would grace the television. And this is before, like, I don't know. Rich, you didn't have Cinemax, did you?
No. We had HBO for a little bit, and then that went away when MTV went away.
Oh, your parents took both away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, MTV, there was something that made the papers. It was a Madonna video.
Oh, probably Like a Prayer. With the burning crosses?
It was either Like a Prayer or what was the one where he goes to the peep show, the boy does.
Open Your Heart.
Open Your Heart. John's
remember
got it.
That video. Yes, I do.
Whatever it was, it came out the same week that the Paradise City video came out. And I was so pissed. Because remember when MTV used to tease the premiere of videos?
Yeah.
Like the premiere of Paradise City was supposed to happen. I was such a huge Guns N' Roses fan. And they yanked MTV that week. And I lost my mind.
Because eventually I got Cinemax, which changed the game. So there was, but before in the more innocent times, and, you know, I sat through Hard Bodies. I don't even think there's nudity in Hard Bodies. And if there is, it's very, very fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
So there were, I'm trying to collectively, like, if Elvira was on TV, it was very exciting. If Rhonda Shear was on TV, it was very exciting.
Yeah.
If Corey Everson was on TV, it was
Keanu
very
Tom.
Tom.
Let's keep going.
Was on TV.
Well, Tom was middays, baby. Noon to one.
Middays. That was mornings. I think she was on from 10 to 11.
I thought, all right,
because I would get up in the morning and turn on ESPN2 or whatever it was.
ESPN2,
and then go back to bed. Because I was tuckered out. I'd already done something that day.
Yes.
I mean, Keanu Tom was the way to start the day.
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to think of who else randomly was on TV.
So who was first on USC Up All Night? Was it Rhonda Shear or Gilbert Gottfried?
Because probably Gottfried.
Okay, because it must have been
and
tough.
Then they wised up.
I was just like, Gilbert, we need some help.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
That's when they would show movies
the screaming
like,
isn't working, Gilbert. We need something
Well, you'd
else.
Want the movies, because they would be like kind of dirt, like risque movies, but they would have no nudity.
They would be Sorority Babes, the Slimeball Bullerama was one they always played. Summer Job was another one. It was always on USA Up All Night. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Sorority House Massacre, I believe, was always on
but
there.
But you'd want the movie to stop and Rhonda Shear to come on. So I'm trying to think of who else was like that. Because John, you talk about getting up in the morning. I recall the Vicki Lawrence show just having to settle for the Vicki Lawrence
show. Mama's Family?
Your love for Vicki Lawrence is
I don't. There's no love.
It now, did just, you like her as Mama?
No. It was no. No. The Vicki Lawrence show, just I would turn it on and I would be like, all right, I guess it's Vicki Lawrence will have to do.
Designing right. Women. Okay. All right, Delta Burke.
Delta Burke did a guest star on Who's the Boss, and Delta Burke was like phenomenal. But she was doing aerobics, and she had on the 80s aerobics, like skin tight gear, and she's trying to seduce Tony. And it's one of those things like Tony had no relationship with Angela yet, so no one, anyone would be like, oh, this beautiful woman's throwing themselves at me, and I have no connection to anything. I'm just this guy, but I'm going to turn it down. So it's like, oh, no. And you're like, stop it. Just have sex with her. Like, what's wrong with you? There was the growing pains with Dana Plato. Yep. Do you remember that one? And she dressed like Madonna, and she's desperately trying to have sex with Mike Seaver. And Mike Seaver gets on an exercise bike and starts trying to, like, work. And, like, just being a kid, like, what's wrong with you? There's a hot chick just desperately trying to have sex with you. Like, have sex with him. There was an episode of Head of the Class. I'll remember all of these. Oh, no. Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah.
Where the girl that ended up burning down the float in 90210 was on it.
Christine Elise.
Yeah, and she tried to seduce the elder boy.
Okay.
And the elder boy like turned it down. These are things that I remember that are ingrained in my memory for being so pissed off. Like, that never happens. The 80s were the grand time of hot chick coming over to seduce innocent guy. And then the innocent guy turning them down. Like, a scenario that never happens. Oh, it's the weirdest thing. Like, this really hot chick just came over and was like, hey, let's have sex. And I was like, ah.
By the way, I got the list of the USA Up All Night movies. I mean,
I don't care about
great
that.
Wheelhouse.
Oh, actually,
great wheelhouse.
Say it and I'll tell you if I've seen them. Go.
Okay, Hard Bodies.
I think I saw that when I was a kid.
Private Resort.
Yep.
Hot Dog the Movie.
Oh, of course.
Hot Dog the Movie had one of the great non-nude sex scenes of all time.
Hot Dog the Movie's a ski slope one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
In the gondola, and there is no nudity in that. It is just the woman applying sunscreen to the man. And that was something that was taped on the Betamax.
Okay.
Up the Creek.
Up the Creek.
A personal favorite of mine.
Why?
Cheap Trick did the soundtrack.
I love that movie.
Wait. Up the Creek was one of the great disappointments ever.
Oh, no, there wasn't. There wasn't
a lick of nudity.
No, that was the cast of Animal House on rafts, right?
That's correct. Okay. Tim Matheson.
Yeah, up the creek.
And Flounder.
And that was Cheap Trick who did the theme.
I just said that.
Once Bitten
with Jim Carrey, I believe. Jim Carrey was in Once Bitten?
Once Bitten was something that I used occasionally.
Who was the actor, the model who had the gapper teeth?
Lauren
Hutton? Lauren Hutton. That's
Lauren
it.
Hutton.
Yeah.
There was a MILF aspect to that.
Okay. Let's see.
Before the MILF movement.
Screwballs.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that.
Screwballs, very disappointing. My wife says My Tutor, but My Tutor on USA Up All Night would be a crime. Because it would get rid of the kid in that
is the
beat
scene. I agree with that. That would be bad.
She says, climb the mountain.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
You know what? I don't think I ever saw in My Tutor.
Oh, that was one of the few. Man.
Okay, watch the first 10 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Turn
it off.
I never saw My Tutor, and I never saw Just One of the Guys. Those are two that I never
Just
saw.
One of the Guys is a legitimately, decent film. Just One of the Guys can be watched without any self-pleasure involved.
Stewardess School.
I never saw that.
Yes, Stewardess School was famous because the man's freaking out in the airplane, and the stewardess decides to appease him and settle his anxieties with her mouth.
I'm not hearing any Sidaris movies, Andy Sidaris. My wife had to edit all of those for television.
What is the point of that?
I like a good mystery with, sometimes you need a detective who lives on a houseboat to solve a good mystery and find out who stole June Knocker's necklace.
The best. Okay, so Andy Sidaris movies were Malibu Express, Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
Okay. So Trigger, Guns.
But Guns is where he went.
Eric Estrada.
Eric Estrada's got two lines of that thing. Guns is where he went, chips in the middle of the table. Here we go. Get me the biggest knockers on the planet.
Well, that's what it's called. Guns. It was like, James has had help before, but never like this.
Yeah, but Guns is the one where he went, all right, let's not beat around the bush here. I'm getting massive breasts.
Guns.
Guns, I rented on Netflix when it was still DVDs.
Oh, my God.
Because Guns was so... Guns is a masterpiece of Sidaris going all in.
So Mary honestly watched, I think there was a dozen in the Andy Sidaris collection. So she used to work for Turner, and Turner, late night, had bought the entire thing. And so her job was to screen it, write down all the stuff in it. And every once in a while, I'd get a call from Mary at work, and I would just go, hello? And I would hear this. Well, can I use your shower? And you hear this, anchors away.
That's the double team scene. The two chicks come over.
Yep, to use his shower on his houseboat. Yeah. Cody Abilene.
Right, but at least Abilene bangs him instead of pretending that he didn't want to, like in the sitcom world.
All right, keep going. I want to hear
this. All right. We got a break, and then we can continue this.
Okay.
I mean, my wife's into it. I mean, I guess people are into it.
All right.
I'll be listening this morning at 7:55 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Comics Come Home 26, November 13th at the TD Garden. Dennis Leary, Cam Neely, Jon Stewart, and a host of comedians. In support of Cam Neely Foundation for Cancer Care, tickets are on sale to the general public. Get them before they're sold out, all through Ticketmaster outlets and in person at the TD Garden box office. 7:55. Something on here. All right, we'll be back. And I knew this Elvira thing would spark something for the older crowd. You kids with your internet, you don't know what's going on. You don't know climb the mountain. with the young kitten Navidev had. Russ Meyer's ex. You ever see one of them Russ Meyer movies?
I have not, but I'm just thinking about that kitten Natividad. Kitten.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that scene right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giant Hooters.
Yep.
Did you ever see...
I think that was the name of one of the characters in an Andy Sedaris.
Guns. Again, Guns. Guns. Guns, he got this chick with just enormous, enormous breasts. And you just went, yeah, you did, Andy. Good for
she's
you.
She's on the cover, and right above her head it said, Guns. Yeah,
I don't think she's even on the cover. Like, the one that he went all in on. And she has a sex scene, and it's hysterical. Because you're like, oh, the two of them are off to the woods. All right, let's unleash those beasts. Let's see what's doing. Let the puppies breathe, as they used to say. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so Brandon Merriweather is supposed to call in at 8. Mark Davis was on some show. Real Sports.
Real Sports, yeah.
They let him talk.
They let him go. Andrea Kramer just... You'll hear the audio for yourself, but... I mean, at one part, you almost got to feel bad for the guy because she just, to his face, continues to crap all over him.
No, his dad was not the nicest guy in the world. Next week, we're going to have tickets to the... this week, we're going to have tickets to the New Orleans game, but it kind of sounds anticlimactic because next week we'll have not one but two pairs of tickets.
You know what? I have not checked
Tampa Bay
in the last couple of weeks what the price of these tickets
are.
You
look at that. You shoot some more of these movies out of me there.
We're talking about how
Elvira, Mistress of the Dark,
mm-hmm.
has come out with an autobiography, which I can't wait to get my hands on. I need to know everything about her life. But it came out that she had been in a relationship with a woman for 19 years. Who cares? The thing that's interesting is that I saw Elvira, and instinctually I got excited because Elvira, when she was on TV... You know, this is pre-internet. Mm-hmm. That was a night of ecstasy. I mean, that was a night where who knows what would go on in your room.
Hope the parents go to bed.
Well, it doesn't matter. I had a TV in my room, yeah. Which my kids will never have.
Look at you.
Well, yeah, you know what it makes you is like quasi agoraphobic. Just sit in your room all night. All right. So,
are the USA Up All Night lineup movies that they showed.
We've been over My Tutor. We've been over Ski School, Hard Bodies. Hard Bodies,
Hot Dog.
Yeah.
Hot Dog, the movie. Zapped, of course, was one of them.
Zapped, a great Heather Thomas nude scene. Heather Thomas, the superior to Heather Locklear.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Heather Locklear had something that looked like she was from a trailer park family. She
Heather
had something
Locklear?
In her that's and I will stand by that, given that she could have been with anyone she wanted to be, and she picked the drummer of Motley Crue.
Zapped, a movie you could never make today.
We've been over that recently. The whole point of Zapped was he could control objects with his mind. So the basic premise of the movie was this kid's going to pop a lot of bras.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the entire point of the movie.
And grow weed,
like, in the weirdest, like, most obvious way. Like, why are you growing weed in the science room?
Correct me if I'm wrong. The only thing I really remember about Zapped was that there was a scene where Scatman Crothers starts, like, tripping balls, or he gets super high and starts hallucinating.
Yes.
He was like the baseball coach at the school too, Scatman Crothers. Yeah.
They burn like the marijuana plants, and it goes through the vents of the school.
I think you're right
about
that.
And that 80s weed, for some reason, has hallucinogenic properties that gets Scatman Crothers very high.
There was actually a sequel called Zapped Again, filmed 8 years after the first one that made this list,
which
also
was too good for Scott Baio.
Apparently. Well, Todd Eric Andrews and Kelly Williams are your stars.
Huh? Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know who they are.
Hamburger the Motion Picture.
Never saw it.
Movie. I saw it. I was happy with it. I don't think
Hamburger U, right? They go to the university.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, no nudity in that.
Dick Butkus is in that movie, believe it or not. Yeah, I believe is the bad guy.
I never bought him as anything but Kowiki.
License to Drive is in this.
License to Drive?
Short Circuit is in this.
Short Circuit was in this.
I've shown License to Drive to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
In a desperate attempt to entertain them for 90 minutes.
I don't need a car. I already have a Mercedes. Isn't that the final line? He's got his girl.
Well, there's a lot of Heather Graham. There's a lot of dumping Heather Graham in the trunk of the car and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But there's no sexual assaults in License to Drive. That I can attest to.
Surf Nazis Must Die.
Yeah, but that's one of those on purpose.
Now you're going trauma. Are you throwing in like Toxic Avenger? If you're going to do trauma films, Class of Nukem High, is that all in
there? That's in there.
Okay.
That's in there. Summer Job is in this.
I mentioned Summer Job. Yep.
Summer Job.
Who's
is in
Summer Job?
Nobody.
Sherry Rose, James Summer, Amy Lynn Baxter.
All I remember about Summer Job was that there was a prank where they put this dye, purple dye, in the shampoo, and this woman was dyed purple throughout the entire movie.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So
that.
If someone has blank Lynn in their name and they were in an 80s film, breasts were shown.
You know what? You're pretty much close to the truth.
Yeah, because I know I've seen the film, but if you say there's someone named like Amy Lynn, I'm guessing that breasts were exposed.
The Party Animal is a movie that...
never heard of that one.
Yeah, maybe Spuds McKenzie vehicle.
That could be The Wraith, starring Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah, and Sherilyn Fenn. Yes, I remember that one.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like that movie,
actually. Sherilyn Fenn, I actually had a Playboy of.
Oh, yeah?
It had a newscaster on the front. Sherilyn Fenn was unbelievable looking.
Well, I mean, the cast of Twin Peaks when it came out, it was like there was no one who was less than like an 8 on the entire cast.
Better Off Dead... John Cusack.
One of the true depressing films.
See, that doesn't sound like a USA Up All Night film.
I know.
One of the true depressing films. Better Off Dead, and then leading into the...
One Crazy Summer?
One Crazy Summer.
See, One Crazy Summer I used to love when I was a kid.
So...
As I said, it
rained every day they were shooting.
I was the perfect... It's Nantucket. I was the perfect age. The reason I know that is that every summer, the movie theater down there has like special screenings of One Crazy Summer. And I remember when I first started, I was like, why would you choose this
movie? Well, they're in the business. They don't want everyone crowding the theater. So they're like, give us a night off. We're going to show One Crazy Summer.
Bikini Summer. Yeah. There you go. And we have the two Meatballs and then the two sequels to that, Meatballs Part 2.
I've never seen Meatballs.
And Meatballs Part 3.
Okay, Meatballs, the original one, was pretty funny.
Meatballs Part 3, is that with the alien?
No.
Oh, that's 2.
Because
that's 2.
That one, I've seen Meatballs 2 because it's incredibly sad.
Yes. Meathead, because you say Meathead.
That's right.
And no, I think Corey Feldman showed up around the third or fourth Meatballs movie.
That could be.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the end of the list.
All right.
That's it.
Rock and Roll High School was not on there.
Rock and Roll High School is impossible to watch.
I skipped a lot of ones that were wheelhouse stuff, like Pee Wee's Big Adventure, Fast Times at Ridgemont
High. How is that a USA Up All Night? Pee Wee's Big Adventure, by the way, one of my top five favorite
Fast
comedies.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Weird Science, Bachelor Party. You know, then there were other ones like The Outsiders. That was then.
See,
is now.
I don't remember USA having the money.
We were heading in a certain direction, we stayed with that direction.
The movie Bachelor Party, it's funny looking back how I got nothing. I understood nothing that was going on in that. I didn't understand how they had the donkey walking around and why that would be funny. I didn't understand anything that was going on.
Adrian Zemed, wasn't he like the super cool friend?
I mean, he was the poor man's Stamos.
Of course. Back to School Short Circuit is on here, too. So,
Which the guy had to apologize for because he played an Indian fella.
Yeah, that's right. It was portrayed an Indian stereotype.
Yeah. Well, I think just the
Fisher Stevens.
Just the idea that he stole the role from an Indian actor is what
Teen Wolf is on here also.
Teen Wolf, there is a scene at the end of the movie when they win the basketball game where somebody in the crowd stands up and his pants are down.
Yes. I don't remember.
It's like they left it in the movie.
No, it's like a frame.
It's one of those things that years later they said, you know, when they have like movie mistakes, one of the actors apparently had his pants halfway down. Yeah, he's an extra, and he stood up and just his pants are down.
By the way, in Teen Wolf, another one of those boomerang situations where the girl he settles for is, like, good looking.
Boof.
Boof is better looking than the one he wanted.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's funny,
yeah.
Just because she was a brunette, she was somehow, like, less hot than the blonde.
Yep. Boof was definitely a better choice.
I liked Boof. I think Boof was hotter. But she didn't have blonde feathered hair.
Whatever happened to her, I wonder.
Boof?
Yeah.
She's vice president. That was a young Kamala Harris.
It was a young Kamala Harris. She was Boof.
How silly of me.
Yeah.
You didn't know that? I didn't get that.
You didn't know Boof? That was Boof. Caller number 8 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985 will score a pair of tickets to Comics Come Home 26, November 13th at the TD Garden. Now, you will listen to me, because there's a lot. Dennis Leary, Cam Neely, who does a hysterical impressions act. He does a lot of the Bugs Bunny characters. Jon Stewart, and then a bunch of other comedians, goes to the Cam Neely Foundation for Cancer Care. Tickets are on sale to the general public. Get them before they're sold out through all Ticketmaster outlets and in person at the TD Garden box office. Unscheduled, but probably happening. Brandon Merriweather is going to join us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.